بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فأما بعد، فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم: إن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear respected brothers, sisters, elders, this is the second part of my khutbah which I did last week, which was called The Benefit of Perspective, and this is part two. Perspective, for those of you who were not there last week, perspective is the ability to hold two pictures simultaneously in your mind, where you are and where you want to be. Perspective is critical and essential for you to find direction, any direction. For example, if somebody calls you and says, I want to come to ISWM, give me directions, what will you say? Where are you? He says, I don't know where I am. It's okay, then I can't give you directions, because unless you tell me where you are, so you can say, okay, then in that case, if you don't know where you are, get to the Springfield railway station or bus stand, and then from there I will give you directions. So you need to know point of origin and the destination. This ability to hold these two pictures in mind is called perspective, and this applies also to life. If you say, I want to succeed, fantastic. Define success. Where are you now? What is the delta? What is the gap? How will you bridge it? Right? To reach a goal, we talked about goals, and we talked about the importance of goals last week, and I want to say to you and remind myself that to reach a goal, we must have a goal. Now that seems to be self-evident, but let me ask you, how many of you have a written down life goal? If it is not written down, it's not a life goal, believe me. How many of you have a written down life goal? If you don't have a written down life goal, don't go to sleep tonight until you write it down. It doesn't matter what age you are. Doesn't matter. You don't say, oh, you know, I'm so old now. No, no. What is your life goal? Write it down. Because if you don't have a life goal, then ask yourself, what are you living for? What are you working for? Because just to eat and drink and satisfy desires and die, that is what animals do. To live for a purpose is not what most humans do, but what all humans are supposed to do. To live according to a purpose. Not just eat, drink and die. The truth is that for most humans, there is little to distinguish them from animals. Other than that, they are the only ones who wear pants and who show their teeth when they are happy. Animals show their teeth when they are angry. So please invest some time in yourself and write down a life goal that excites and energizes you. Something you really seriously believe is worth dedicating your life to. Because that is where the rest of your life, no matter how old you are, that is where the rest of your life will begin from that moment onwards. either live by default or live purposefully. The choice is yours. The choice is ours. Because the result is also ours. So choose wisely. Because to live is not merely to breathe. It's not merely to draw breath. They say you only live once. But that's not true. You live every day. You don't live once. So that, live deliberately and consciously. And live for a purpose. And live to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And live to leave a legacy of honor. The first part of the puzzle, where I am, we saw last week. The second part of that, a perspective, is where am I going? Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined the parameters of success very clearly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Wa innama tuwaffawna ujurakum yawma al-qiyama. فَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاءُ الْغُرُورِ." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, every soul will taste death. And you will only receive your full reward on the day of judgment. Whoever is spared from the fire and is admitted into Jannah will indeed triumph. Whereas the life of this world is no more than the delusion of enjoyment. Now, nothing can be clearer than this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned three things. Everyone will die. If you are alive, you will die. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter how old or young you are, everyone will die. And everyone will be called to account and rewarded or punished. We ask Allah to save us from his punishment. Number two, success means only one thing. Success does not mean money or power or authority or beauty or anything. Success means only one thing, which is to be protected from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be granted Jannah. فَمَنْ زُحْزِعَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازْ. Only that person. And the third one is, life of this world is deception. What appears is not what it is. Reality is different from what we are seeing. So let's begin with the first statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Allah said, every soul, every living being will taste death. First thing to do, I remind myself and you to ask ourselves, does it apply to me? Do you think you will die? Sounds like a dumb question, right? It's not. It is not a dumb question. It's a very, very important question. It's a very wise question. It's a critically important question. So ask this question to yourself. If you like, stand in front of a mirror and look at yourself in the eyes and ask, will I die? When? Do that, right? Shut the door so nobody thinks you are crazy, but do it. And then tell your wife and your children and your husband and everybody to. Answer this question for yourself. Will you die? When will you die? Ask yourself, will I die? And ask when. And really, if I truly believe in the core of my being, not just intellectually, that I can die at any time and will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I will remember that at every decision point and will never do anything that I know displeases Allah. Let us remember that when we stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is our bodies which will speak and our bodies will bear witness against us or for us. I'm not making this up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us this. Allah said in Surah Yasin, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum, al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksibun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, on that day, on this day, we will seal their mouths and their hands will speak to us and their feet will speak to us and they will testify, they will bear witness to what they used to do. The right hand will say, when I was sitting in the masjid and I was supposed to be listening to the khutbah, This man was playing with the phone with his right hand.
Seriously, I'm not joking.
Do this.
Do this as an exercise. Alhamdulillah, we had shuyukh who used to make us do this as part of our muraqabah.
He said, look at your right hand and imagine the right hand speaking. What is it going to be saying? Then look at your left hand and I imagine your left hand to be speaking. What is it going to be saying? Look at your feet. Look at your eyes. Look at your ears. Look at your skin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the skin will speak. That's why I read the Quran. My brothers and sisters, the time to change is now. If your body is going to be saying good things about you, alhamdulillah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for istiqamah. Allah, keep me this, keep me here. My body is all, every organ and every part of my body is saying good things about me, alhamdulillah. You're good, inshallah. Stay there. Ask for steadfastness. If the opposite is true, don't worry, it's okay. Allah gave us the door of tawbah.
Make tawbah, khalas, you're done. You're free.
I came to the masjid, I was looking at the phone in Jummah. I will not do it again, you are good for good.
Khalam, alhamdulillah, this is over, finished. Allah wiped it out. Allah will turn it into a good deed, mashallah.
Just don't repeat it. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the door of tawbah and istighfar. Of repentance and returning to Him until Malakul Maut comes. Once we see Malakul Maut, that door is shut. Then it's not opening. You can't say, I want to go back. No. Rabbana absarna wa sami'na farji'na na'mal salihanna muqinun.
They will say, oh Rabb, we have seen and we have heard. On the day of judgment, they will see. They will see and you will see and I will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The one we believed in unseen, we will see Him. Huh? One of the great wise people of this world, Saint Francis of Assisi, who went in the Third Crusade, he went and met Al-Malik Al-Kamil, who was the Khalifa. And the Khalifa, he actually... Saint Francis of Assisi went to meet Malik al-Kamil, hoping that he would be killed, so he would become a martyr. And Malik al-Kamil honored him and sat him down and gave him gifts and all kinds of things and so on and sent him back in safety. Now one of his sayings, very, very important saying, he said, faith is to see what you believed in unseen and know that it is true. The truth remains the same, no matter who says it. Huh?
So people will see, all of us will see. Those who denied Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see. Those who believed in Allah will see. Those who cursed Allah will see. Those who praised Allah will see. Everyone will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on His throne. And they will say, Rabbana absarna, oh ya Rabb, we have seen you. Wa sami'na, we have heard and we have, whatever is happening on the day of judgment.
Farjena, send us back. Send us back into this life. Na'mal salihan, we will do good deeds. We will pray, we will worship you, we will fast, and we will do this and that and give charity. Inna muqirun, and we will become very obedient slaves and servants of yours. No. One-way street. Once you go past that gate, the gate is shut. But those who want to repent, those who want to turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, see what Allah said. Allah said, إِن تَجْتَنِبُوا كَبَائِرَ مَا تُنْهَوْنَ عَنْهُ نُكَفِّرْ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَنُدْخِلْكُمْ مُدْخَلًا كَرِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you avoid and if you don't do the major sins that have been forbidden for you, we will forgive you your lesser misdeeds. Even without making tawbah, Allah said, we'll forgive you the small ones. Don't do the major ones. And we'll admit you into a place of honor, which is Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about those who commit sins and who want to repent, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ
Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Innahu huwal ghafuru rahim. Allah said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O my slaves who have transgressed against their souls, who have committed sins, who have harmed themselves, because believe me, when you commit something, if you disobey Allah, you're not harming Allah, you're harming yourself. So Allah says, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, O my Prophet, to those who have harmed themselves, who have transgressed, who have committed sins, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins, and He is indeed all forgiving and most merciful. So we thank the one, we make shukr to the one who calls those who transgress against Him my slaves. If somebody does something, disobeys you, you distance them. Look at that, they're not mine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing you close. See the mercy of Allah. He says, the ones who have transgressed, my slaves. How can we thank the one who promised to forgive the one who seeks forgiveness and to forgive the one who did not even seek forgiveness, as long as he does something good? What do you say to the one who still doesn't seek that forgiveness? That's the other big problem. Knowing all of this, I still continue on my wrong path. Then what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Illa man taba, for the one who seeks forgiveness, which is what I told you just now. You can smile. Halal. Very good. Allah said, Illa man taba, wa amana, wa amila amalan salihan, fa ulaika yubaddilu Allahu sayyi'atihim hasanat, wa kana Allahu ghafuran rahima. Allah said, as for the one who repents and believes and does good deeds, they are the ones whose evil deeds Allah will change into good deeds. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving and most merciful. I asked you if you have a written down life goal. I'm asking you a second question. For how many of you, if I asked you to write down three of your top priorities as you sit here, do it as an exercise. I am letting the cat out of the bag right now, so you won't have the fun of that. But do it as an exercise and then try it with your friends, with your family. Tell them, write your top three goals in order of priority, 1, 2, and 3. And see if they put Jannah as number one. Do it seriously. See if you put Jannah. Ask yourself, if I ask you without telling you this, if I'd asked you to write three goals, would you have put Jannah? I've tried this many, 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 many times. I have never. I try it even in my corporate practice, in leadership courses. Write down three goals. Never have I had any Muslim write Jannah, even as one of the three. Forget about the first one. My question is, if Jannah is not even on my list, then what am I going to do to get there? Ya Rab, Ya Kareem. أقول قولي هذا استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد, my brothers and sisters, the first thing Allah said was, Kullu nafsin zaiqatul maut. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is that you will be rewarded in full when you get to Allah. And the reward is both positive and negative. It's up to us whether we want it to be positive or we want it to be negative. The trap of shaitan is that the part of life, as you know, our life doesn't end with death. Death is a transition, intiqal, moving from this life to the next life. So our life is this whole continuum. Part of the continuum is in this world and the rest of it is in the akhirah. Now the trap of shaitan is, shaitan has convinced us that the part which is not in our control is in our control. And the part which is in our control is not in our control. So he has moved successfully, may Allah protect us from shaitan and from our own nafs, which is even bigger than shaitan. He successfully moved our focus from the part which we can control, and therefore we should focus on it and control it, to the part we cannot control. So no matter what you do, that's not going to change anyway. For example, just to give you a very simple example. For example, how many of you are worried about how much money you have? Right, everybody. How much do I have? I have more, I have less, I should get more and so on. How much? Quantity. How many of you are worried? Everybody. How many of you are worried about how am I earning that money? From what source? It's fine. I won't take a poll on that. Now, out of these two things, quantity, is it in our control? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly, إِنَّ رَبِّي يَبُسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَخْدِرُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is your Rabb who decides the quantity. To some he gives more, to some he gives less. Allah decides, you don't decide. But most people don't know. What is in our control? How to earn it. Will I take it from a halal source? Or will I go to a haram source? Completely in our control. And that this choice will not affect the overall quantum. Make no mistake about it. Not my opinion. This is what your and my Rabb said, Jalla Jalaluhu. This is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Quantity not in our control. You will not get more if you go into a haram area. You will still get the same thing. You will just get it with what comes with haram, which is punishment. If you go and seek the same rizq in a halal way, you will still get the same thing with barakah, with benefit, with khair, with afiyah, and with the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dull choice, but we do it all the time. This is the problem. Our problem is, believe me, wallah, our problem is not faith. We have faith, alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to just wipe off everything and just give us Jannah on the basis of faith, alhamdulillah, inshallah. Right? We ask Allah. I'm not saying Allah will do it. Don't look so happy. Faith is not the issue. Knowledge is also not the issue. I sometimes tell people, I say, you know, from today until the day you die. Seriously, I'm telling you, today's modern people, all you guys sitting here, from today until the day you die, even if you do not learn one single new word, not even one single, I'm not even talking about I is several words. Even if you don't learn one single new word in Islam, what you know already is enough to get you into Jannah without hisab, inshallah. You don't need to learn. Don't go to any halakha. Don't do anything. Don't go to any class. Don't go anything. You will still get to Jannah. Provided we practice what we know. That's it. But where is our focus? This halakha, that halakha, this one, that one. We are not doing anything in the masjid. This masjid, we have got 5 times salah. There is not anything. You got Jummah. You got 2 Jummahs. There is not anything. This is the problem is, you want more and more and more. And to do what? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in Sahih Hadith. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Hadith Qudsi. He said, Allah says, if my slave worships me 5 times a day as I have prescribed and does not associate partners with him, on the day of judgment, it is my responsibility to forgive him and enter him into Jannah. And if he does not do that, then I don't take this responsibility. Just 5 times. Just 5 times salah on its correct time don't associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no shirk? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala setting a thing to say you must know 50 ahadith with the takhrij, you must know 200 ayat, you must memorize 2 juz of Quran, you must, nothing, just pray 5 times a day on time. Khalas. Again, I'm not saying it, hadith Qudsi. But shaitan moves our attention away. Yesterday I was talking to somebody. I said, do you pray Jummah? No, sir. No time.
Sure.
Where is the no time? Where do you work? This place. I said, there is a masjid literally 5 minutes from where you are. 5 minutes. And I told him, Hamsha Mosque, from where the guy is working, 5 minutes. Jummah is fard. Just go there, pray, go back to your work. I remember almost 25 years ago, I was in Jawat in one place and we stopped in the masjid, which has it's an old bank. It has a bank vault in front of the imam. So the door is always open. Bridgeport Masjid. So we were in Bridgeport Masjid, and opposite Bridgeport Masjid, there's a little street. I mean, that street is like you can literally jump off across the street. It's so small. Opposite the thing is a convenience store. So we went to buy, Dr. Ali was with me, so Dr. Ali and I, we went to buy some, you know, something, I don't know, water or some such thing. So there was this young man there on the convenience store. So, conversation, just like, as I asked him, I said, you know, isn't it a wonderful thing you are right opposite the masjid? He said, yes, yes. So, I said, so I'm sure you are getting all the 5 prayers by Jama'at. He said, no. He said, why? He said, no time. Then, okay. I said, what about Jummah? No, no time. I said, literally, it's not even 100 meters. It's not even 100 meters from where you are standing and masjid is here. You're looking at it from here. And you don't pray in the masjid at all, any salah, and you don't go for Jummah. He said, no, no time. I said, what do you do if you need to go to the toilet? Spontaneously. And he also didn't think. He said, I put a sign there saying, close for, I will be back and I go to the toilet. So I said, then in that case, going to the toilet is more important to you than going before Allah. Yeah, your salah is worth less than going to the toilet for you.
Sure.
Subhanallah. And my point is, if this is our state, how are we going to meet Allah? Subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I am Muslim. Inshallah. May Allah give you Jannah. Allah won't give you my Jannah. May Allah give you Jannah. No problem. I got no problem with that. But you know and I know, and I'm only telling you what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Allah will look at the amal. Allah will not look at Al-Yawma, Nakhtimu ala afwahim. All these claims of this and that, and I love Allah, I love Rasulullah. No problem, your claim. If you love Allah, where is the sign of that? If you love Rasulullah, where is the sign of that? And if I don't have any of those signs, and all my actions are the opposite of that, then believe my brothers and sisters, we have a problem. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to help us to live this life in the way of His blessed Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we ask Him, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, at least 17 times every day. We ask Allah to live by that kalam. Let our tongue not bear witness that we were lying and cheating when we said Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim and then we went off into some other sirat. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the integrity to follow what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. We said, Ihdina Sirat al-Mustaqim, Ya Allah, guide us to the path of steadfastness. Allah guided us, but we said, no, we don't want that. We want something else. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us sincerity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us integrity. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We ask, we seek forgiveness, and we ask Allah to forgive us all that we ask Him to forgive us for and all that we forgot. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us for all that we do intentionally and unintentionally. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to convert our bad deeds into good deeds and to put us on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, on the path of steadfastness, whether we like it or not, and to force us to keep us on that until we reach Jannah, inshallah. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر لنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. آمين يا رب العالمين. يا عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، عدوا يستجيب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. في مسلم.